There's an old story that I may have recounted before about Leonardo da Vinci when he was painting the famous Last Supper that's depicted in a monastery in Florence, Italy. The story is that when da Vinci was preparing to paint the Last Supper, he was searching for models of Christ and the apostles for the sketches before he'd begin the actual painting. He began, first of all, by looking for a model for Christ. After searching around the city, he found a young man who was very pious, very reverent, handsome and strong, and da Vinci thought, this is the one. He is going to be Christ. He becomes the model for Christ. Then da Vinci begins working on the other apostles. And after about a year or so, as he's finishing up, the last one is going to be Judas Iscariot. He looks around for a model for Judas in the darker areas of the city of Florence. He goes to the jails, the taverns, the brothels, and finally he finds one, a man who was young but looked much older and haggard, beaten down by a life of sin. Da Vinci then offered to hire him and asked his name. It was the same fellow who had posed for Christ. In a year's time, he had fallen from grace, turned to a life of sin, and he comes from Christ to Judas. That can happen to any one of us. How a life of sin and distance from God can change a person not only from the inside, but from the inside out. We've all heard the old saying, beauty is skin deep, but ugly goes down to the bone. And that's true. Maybe you were told, as I had been told as a kid when we did something wrong, don't do that, that's ugly. T'es vilain toi. Maybe you've heard somebody say, you've been very ugly to me by the things that you did. Sometimes we can be. Our attitudes, our demeanor, our words, our thoughts, our sentiments, all these things well up from deep within us, from the inside, and they can make us ugly. A pretty face with an ugly soul still makes for an ugly person. And likewise, you may have a person with a homely face with a beautiful soul, and that makes for a truly beautiful person. The word transfiguration literally means a change of face, a change in the appearance. When we speak of Christ, we're speaking about the fact that for those 3 years, the apostle saw him as the itinerant preacher from Nazareth, this rabbi who may be the Messiah. They saw him as a man, but now they saw his divinity shining through his humanity, and they saw him as he truly is, as the Son of God, with Moses and Elijah to testify to his divinity. It's all a preparation for his crucifixion and resurrection, but it's that change of face. But likewise, every one of us is called by God through grace to have that transfiguration, a change of our own faces. The inside manifested to the outside to see who we truly are. What is our deepest reality? Baptized into Christ Jesus, people should see Christ in us. We should be seeking that. To see Christ within ourselves through grace and to see Christ outside ourselves and one another. Now, I find it no accident that whenever you read the lives of the saints, you notice that they were always associated with other saints. They were connected to each other in some way, shape, or form. They might have been friends, they might have been relatives, but they're always associated with other saints. It makes sense. It reinforces the truth that we become like those with whom we associate. Therefore, we should always spend more time with the spiritually like-minded, those people who keep our faith strong. But at the same time, they help us to be good models for others to follow. That doesn't mean that we should never befriend those who are not as like-minded spiritually, that we're there to help to raise them up, but we must always be careful not to allow them to bring us down. Thus, St. Paul says to us in his letter to the Philippians, join with others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and observe those who thus conduct themselves according to the model that you have in us, those who model themselves after Christ, he means. For many, as I have told you, often told you, and even now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach, their glory is their shame, their minds are occupied only with earthly things. Here I can't help but think of our own president. Not to be political, but here you have one of the world's most prominent Catholics, or at least with him, a self-proclaimed Catholic, parading around in front of news cameras on Ash Wednesday, ashes on his forehead, defending his stance in promotion of abortion and sexual perversion. Unbelievable. A man who says, "I'm a Catholic," with ashes on his head, saying that women have a God-given right to slaughter their children in the womb, and that we have to be forced to accept sexual perversion as something de facto. This is madness. We can't pretend to be something and be something else. Either we're going to be with Christ or against him. There's no two ways. And St. Paul says in Galatians, no one makes a fool of God. A man will reap only what he sows. If he sows in the field of the flesh, he'll reap a harvest of corruption. But if his seed ground is the Spirit, he will reap everlasting life. And the Psalms remind us that a humble and contrite heart the Lord would not spurn. Therefore, we should pray, and pray hard, for our president, and pray for all Catholics in government, in our country, our state, our city, and around the world, that they may repent of their sins and not be following those who God is in their stomach and glory in their shame, but instead have their minds formed by the truth of the gospel to make wise, godly decisions for the spiritual and good of those that they serve, the spiritual and physical good of those that they serve. But all of us must remember that we belong to Christ. We all belong to Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. We might be here for only a time, but because of our baptism into Christ, we've been made citizens of heaven, which is our true and eternal home. As St. Paul reminds us, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with his own glorified body, to make us like himself, by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself. But that starts here, brothers and sisters. Our souls were made beautiful by Christ when we were baptized, as we were made part of the body of Christ. Since that time, sadly, we disfigure our souls by our sins, our egotistical pride, our vanity, our greed, our lust. But by the power of Christ's passion, we can be made something new. We can be transfigured, made beautiful and new by confession, by conversion, by the sacraments, by a life of prayer, a life of faith, a life of love. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, as St. Paul says, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, in this way, in Christ's way, stand firm. Stand firm in the Lord, and don't be ugly. May the Lord cleanse us of our faults and make us holy in mind and soul and body, keeping us faithful to the gospel of Christ, that we may always desire and at last receive the glory that now and in the last day Jesus wants to give us, the glory that he himself showed in his own body to the amazement of Peter, James, and John. Amen.